Esther chapter 2, verse 19. When the virgins were assembled a second time, Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate. But Esther had kept secret her family background and nationality, just as Mordecai had told her to do. For she continued to follow Mordecai's instructions as she had done when he was bringing her up. During the time Mordecai was sitting at the king's gate, Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's officers who guarded the doorway, became angry and conspired to assassinate King Xerxes. But Mordecai found out about the plot and told Queen Esther, who in turn reported it to the king, giving credit to Mordecai. And when the report was investigated and found to be true, the two officials were impaled. All this was recorded in the books of the annals in the presence of the king. After these events, King Xerxes honored Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, elevating him and giving him a seat of honor higher than that of all of the other nobles. All the royal officials at the king's gate knelt down and paid honor to Haman, for the king had commanded this concerning him. But Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor. Then the royal officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why do you disobey the king's command?" Day after day they spoke to him, but he refused to comply. Therefore they told Haman about it to see whether Mordecai's behavior would be tolerated, for he had told them he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not kneel down or pay him honor, he was enraged. Yet having learned who Mordecai's people were, he scorned the idea of killing only Mordecai. Instead, Haman looked for a way to destroy all Mordecai's people, the Jews, throughout the whole kingdom of Xerxes. In the 12th year of King Xerxes, in the first month, the month of Nisan, they cast the pur, that is the lot, in the presence of Haman to select a day and a month, and the lot fell on the 12th month, the month of Adar. Then Haman said to King Xerxes, "There is a certain people dispersed and scattered among the peoples in all the provinces of your kingdom, whose customs are different from those of all other peoples, and who do not obey the king's laws. It is not the king's best interest to tolerate them. If it pleases the king, let a decree be issued to destroy them, and I will put 10,000 talents of silver into the royal treasury for the men who carry out this business." So the king took his signet ring from his finger and gave it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. "Keep the money," the king said to Haman, "and do with the people as you please." Then on the 13th day of the first month, the royal secretaries were summoned. They wrote out in the script of each province and in the language of each people in Haman's, all Haman's orders to the king's satraps, the governors of the various provinces, and the nobles of the various peoples. These were written in the name of King Xerxes himself and sealed with his own ring. Dispatches were sent by couriers to all the king's provinces with the order to destroy, kill, and annihilate all the Jews, young and old, women and little children, on a single day, the 13th day of the 12th month, the month of Adar, and to plunder their goods. A copy of the text of the edict was to be issued as law in every province and made known to the people of every nationality, so they would be ready for that day. Spurred on by the king's command, the couriers went out, and the edict was issued in the citadel of Susa. The king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was bewildered. So here we are. The plot thickens. God has ensured that he has put the. You need to turn that off, David. I don't know how you do that, but it must be incredibly embarrassing. Isn't that embarrassing? Oh yeah, okay. Sorry, that was just our future team leader. So here's the plot thickening. There's Esther who has been put into this amazingly influential position to be the queen of all of the Persian Empire, and there is Mordecai who is at the gate of the city of Susa now. Being at the gate of the city of Susa probably means that he deals with tariffs, customs. He's one of the people that kind of deals with the traders that come into the city of Susa. The city of Susa is this kind of protected environment And of course, there are guards and various officials. And Mordecai is no doubt one of those officials. And Mordecai hears about Bigthana and his mate trying to kill the king. Sends news through Queen Esther. The plot is thwarted. And the two guys are impaled on a spike. We demur from putting that into the NIV translation of the Bible for some reason. It's much better if you just kind of have the X-rated version of the Bible, I think. Kids are much more interested in reading it. But here's the situation. These two guys are killed, but no recognition is sent back to Mordecai. That which is quite unusual, really, because he's just saved the life of the king, or at least prevented a conspiracy from forming. So that's one situation. Then the next situation is that Haman, who is of the people of King Agag, the Amorite, who are the historical and traditional enemies of the Jews, way back to the time of Balaam, when the Jews are coming out of Egypt, and Balaam is sent to curse them, and the Amorites are constantly kind of nipping at their heels. These people who are the historical enemies of the Jews now have a member of their nobility who sits at the right hand of the king at his drinking parties. And this man, Haman, becomes not only a trusted counselor of the king of the whole empire, the emperor. He becomes the sworn enemy of all of the Jews. Now, of course, he discovers who Mordecai is. He knows his history, and he knows that his people have almost been completely destroyed. He's now clinging on to a kind of meager existence as a member of this people group. They've been largely destroyed. Another Benjaminite, Saul, is sent by Samuel to destroy them completely. And here's another Benjaminite who is not bowing to him, this man, Mordecai. And so there's old national rivalries, there's old family rivalries, there's kind of the revenge thing going on. And Haman decides that he's not just going to get Mordecai, he's going to get all of his people. So obviously, having the ear of the king, he gets this proclamation made. And the way that the proclamation was going to work was this: whoever decided to take up the call of this proclamation would get the plunder from the people group. So you'd kill all the people, despoil all their goods, and take all of the plunder. So you're basically being paid for these purposes. And that's probably where Haman's thinking he can get 10,000 silver pieces from, because at a similar time to this, the whole income of the kingdom was only 15,000 silver pieces. So, you know, this is a lot of money. And probably there are hundreds of thousands of people that are going to be plundered and all of their goods are taken away. And, you know, it's a pretty good deal. So that's the situation that we have. And really what we have is the setup between the man of integrity and the man of wickedness, the man without integrity, the man who wants revenge. And the man of integrity is Mordecai, the one who is pacing backwards and forwards outside of the king's harem, constantly worrying about Esther and what her situation is. The man who's constantly looking, even though there's this terrible situation where his adoptive daughter has been taken into the harem of the king and has, of course, not been left there, but has now been promoted to the queen. There's this constant desire of this man to oversee this situation and continue to take his responsibilities seriously. And a man who, because God has declared that Haman is the enemy of God and the enemy of his people, is not prepared to bow to him at any cost. And he's prepared to take that cost himself. That man is set up in if you like, contradistinction to the man of evil, the man of revenge. And what this story is intended to do, it's a true story. What this story is intending to do is to ask you questions about yourself. And the questions that it asks you are these. Will you stand up for what you believe is right, even though there are other people who may be incredibly important in your life who disagree with you? To what degree do the important relationships in your life actually define your behavior, or to what degree does doing the right thing define your behavior despite what other people think? And those are the questions that are intended to be asked of the reader of this story. And just as we come to the completion of today's time of prayer, I think it's really important that we ask ourselves that question. Because the truth is that for most of us, being liked is more important than being good. For most of us, being liked is more important than being good. But for Mordecai, who becomes the hero of this story, saving his people from complete annihilation, and of course, given the history of the Jews, this is enormously important to them as the people of God to this day. The hero of this story is a person who did right, even though it meant that he would not be liked or loved or respected. So let's just have a moment to pray, and let's ask ourselves that question this day. How important is it for us to be liked? How important it is for us to do the right thing? Lord, we know that doing the right thing is simply doing the thing that identifies who we are. And we are your children, and that is our identity. And Lord, it's only because we struggle with our identities that we look for the approval of others, and so therefore change our behavior from the things that you want us to do. Lord, we pray this day that you would remind us again of who we are. And you would remind us again, Lord, of the behavior that is consistent with who it is that you called us to be. And we pray, Lord, that that would be the mark of our lives, and that we would not look for the approval of others. We would not, Lord, look to be welcomed into the identity of others and so change our behavior. But, Lord, we would walk this day in the knowledge that we're your children and that we're going to live accordingly. And we pray that, Jesus, in your name. Amen.